Letter of Mark, Aubrey Maturin Series, Book 12. Written by Patrick O'Brien and read by Rick Jerram.
Chapter 1. Ever since Jack Aubrey had been dismissed from the service, ever since his name, with its now meaningless seniority, had been struck off the list of post-captains, it had seemed to him that he was living in a radically different world. Everything was perfectly familiar, from the smell of seawater and tarred rigging to the gentle heave of the deck under his feet. But the essence was gone, and he was a stranger. Other broken sea officers, condemned by court-martial, might be worse off. Indeed, two had come aboard without so much as a sea-chest between them, and compared with them, he was uncommonly fortunate, which should perhaps have been a comfort to his mind. It was none to his heart. Nor was the fact that he was innocent of the crime for which he had been sentenced. Yet there was no denying that materially he was well off. His old but beautiful frigate, the Surprise, had been sold out of the service, and Stephen Maturin had bought her as a private ship of war, a letter of mark, to cruise upon the enemy, and Jack Aubrey was in command. She was now lying at single anchor in Shelmerston, an out-of-the-way port, with an awkward bar and a dangerous tide race, avoided by the navy and by merchantmen, but much frequented by smugglers and privateers, many of whose fast, rakish, predatory vessels could be seen along the quay. Turning in his mechanical walk on the starboard side of the quarter-deck, Jack glanced at the village, and once again he tried to make out what it was that made Shelmerston so like the remaining pirate and buccaneer settlements he had seen long ago in the remoter West Indies and Madagascar, when he was a youngster in this same Surprise. Shelmerston had no waving coconut palms, no brilliant coral strand, and yet there was this likeness. Perhaps it lay in the large and flashy public houses, the general air of slovenliness and easy money, the large number of whores, and the feeling that only a singularly determined and well-armed press gang would ever make an attempt upon it. He also noticed that two boats had put off for the Surprise, and that each was stretching out to reach her first. Neither, however, contained Dr. Maturin, the ship's surgeon. Few people knew that he was also her owner, who was to come aboard today. One of these boats was coxed by an extraordinarily pretty girl with dark red hair, newly come upon the town and enjoying every minute of it. She was a great favourite with the privateersmen, and they responded to her shrill cries so heroically that one broke his oar. Although Jack Aubrey could never fairly have been described as much of a whoremonger, he was no celibate, and from his earliest youth until the present he had taken the liveliest pleasure in beauty. And this spirited girl, half-standing and all alive with excitement, was absurdly beautiful. But now he only observed the fact, and in a genuinely indifferent tone he said to Tom Pullings, "Do not let that woman come aboard. Take only three of the very best." He resumed his pensive walk, while Pullings, the boatswain, the gunner, and Bondon, his own coxswain, put the men through their paces. They had to lay aloft, timed by a log-glass, loose and furl a topgallant sail, then traverse and point a great gun, fire a musket at a bottle hanging from the fore-yard-arm, and tie a crowned double wall-knot before the eyes of a crowd of thorough-going seamen. Ordinarily, manning a ship, a king's ship, was an anxious business, with the impress service doing what it could, with humble prayers for a draft of sometimes criminal nondescripts from the receiving ship, and with the boats cruising in the channel to take hands out of homeward-bound merchantmen, or to raid towns along the coast, often with so little success that one had to put to sea 100 short of compliment. Here in Shelmerston, on the other hand, the Surprise might have been fitting out in paradise.